Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate that very, very much. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter of the book of Genesis. We'll be doing some other things starting next week. We've spent 43 messages in living a life of faith. Anybody need a worksheet? Slip your hand up, please. They'll come by and give you one. Hold it up until they get there. 43 messages. I hope you've got a better inkling of what it means to live a life of faith. I mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago. We think about living a life of faith, about how we're doing in the hard times, and all that's part of it. But sometimes how we do in the good times. Sometimes we think we get the upper hand, we got everything all under our thumb, in control, and all of a sudden we don't need God. And then we're in trouble. Now, we've been through this whole story, and I'm not going to tell the whole story tonight again. Most of you know the story of Joseph, and he was the son of his father's favorite wife. That's a terrible way to say, but she was the one. Rachel was the one he really wanted, and she didn't have any kids until after everybody else had the kids, and Joseph, and then had Benjamin, and Daddy, I think, considered him the real legitimate son, and basically gave him the coat that goes to the coat of many colors. That's kind of the coat that goes to the firstborn. The firstborn had certain special privileges, if you will, and so they knew that, and they didn't like it. And Daddy always liked you better. You know how that goes, so they couldn't speak peaceably to them. Just couldn't talk to the boy. I mean, they just hated him, and finally decided, you know what, we're going to get rid of him, and they threw him in a pit. I think they were going to kill him, but they decided, well, let's not kill him. Let's make some money off of him instead, and they sell him into slavery. He's sold to Potiphar, and actually does pretty well there, and by faith, I think he just decides this is where we are. Not much way I'm getting all the way. I mean, it's not like he could hop a bus and go back to town. You know what I mean? You're there. He was there in Egypt, and so he made the best of things, and then he was falsely accused and thrown into jail by Potiphar's wife. She claimed he forced himself on her, and of course that wasn't the truth. So they ended up back in jail. A couple years, several years. And day after day after day after day, you just think, well, this is it. This is where my life's going to be. I'm stuck here, all because my brothers didn't like me. And I hadn't done anything wrong, just that I was born to the wrong woman at the wrong time, I guess, as far as they were concerned. And it could have gotten very bitter, and I'm sure there were days he was a little worse than others. And not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel, basically seeing the whole door, his whole life just slammed behind the prison doors, he decides he's going to make the best of it, and he did. And God provides another opportunity. One day he's sitting in jail thinking there's no way out, and the next day they're waking him up in the morning and say, get yourself cleaned up, you're going to go see Pharaoh. And before the day's over, he becomes the most powerful ruler, except for Pharaoh, in the most powerful nation at the time. And in the midst of all that, Lord has provided and led him, and he's the one who's going to oversee the distribution of foodstuffs, if you will, because God had told him there's going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years, so you better get ready during the good years so you're ready for the bad years. And sure enough, 2 years into that, who comes knocking on his door but his brothers? Now, they don't recognize him. He's all dressed up in his Egyptian attire there, Joseph is, and they come looking. Now he got the upper hand on somebody who basically ruined his life, if you don't think about it. Think about it, the only thing, he ruined my life. But the fact is, he didn't ruin his life. They didn't ruin his life. God had a plan. God had things he wanted to do. Did he really want them to do that? No, but he knew that they were going to do that. God was going to use it, and he did. And so we're going to see some last principles of this passage. I kind of want to bring this around to a conclusion tonight. So in our passage, Genesis chapter 50, look at verse 15 and following. Genesis 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw, let me put this in context here. Okay, so he said, he finally reveals himself. He tells you go down and get daddy, Jacob. Come up here, bring all your family, everything. And we got a lot of years of famine yet to go. We will take care of you. We'll nourish you. We'll nurture you. We'll provide for you. Now, he didn't have to, but that's what Joseph did. For the ones who sold him into slavery. So they come up and they're fine, and they live there for a while, and he's taking very good care of them. Now, what happens is, then daddy dies. And the boy says, oh. He was being real nice to us while daddy was alive. But now daddy's gone. I bet you he's out for blood now. Verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of your brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, I know ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and they spake kindly unto him. We talked about that last week. They restored the relationship. Joseph was the one who was wronged, but Joseph was the one who restored the relationship. He had every right to hold a grudge as far as we're concerned. But God's greater than that. Verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir and the son of Manasseh were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. In other words, he'll come back and get you. And bring you out of the land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in the coffin in Egypt. Now, we know that when the Exodus came and Moses went back hundreds of years later, that they carried Joseph's bones to the promised land. But that also means, I guess, they carried them things around for 40 years, I guess. Can you imagine? Carried his bones around for 40 years in a coffin until they finally got to the promised land. So tonight we're going to talk about this one thought. Now think and hang on to this. You can say it to yourself in your own heart. I am not God. All these things are going on. I am not God. You say that to yourself. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. This has been quite a journey through these passages. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to kind of bring this around and tie up a few loose ends. Realize what it is to live a life by faith. Lord, I pray that you'll bless. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight we come to the end of a long series of messages. Living a life of faith. And to be honest with you, I would suggest you go back and listen to the series over again. You can get the CDs or you can just listen to them online. But I go back and listen to them. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We want God to be happy with us and so forth, and we think we're bothering Him when we lean on Him day after day after day after day, over and over and over again, multiple times a day. But that's not true. We're not bothering Him. That means, He says, listen, he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It pleases Him when you diligently seek Him. It pleases Him that you're looking for help over and over again. What that means? That means you believe that He is. You have not seen Him. Chances are you have not heard His voice, though His still small voice may be speaking to your heart. It pleases God that you walk by faith. You take His word. This is what we're going to do. And because God said it's true, I'm going to take it and run with it. Because He says, this is what I need to do, a command, then that's what I'm going to do. He loves that. This is a promise that He's given me, and I'm going to claim my promise. He loves that. Abraham believed God, is way back when we started. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what God was looking for. They asked Jesus, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? He says, believe on Him whom He has sent. It's the same thing. Believe on Him. Trust Him. If you believe, it's going to change what you do. Constant reliance on God is a good thing. It pleases God. It builds our relationship with the Lord. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a human, and I remember one time when I was a kid, this little kid said, if you give me a nickel to buy milk, I'll be your friend. And I'm thinking, I don't need friends like that. I always wanting money from me. I don't need a friend like that. But you know what? I was right there. He knew I had the money, and he was just going to schmooze it off of me. Fact is, God is invisible. We worship in spirit and in truth. Fact is, the fact that we go to Him for our needs pleases Him so very much because it means we believe that He is. Now, we've seen those in our time here, our studies. We saw those who followed God when no one else would. We've seen them stay with God even when they seemed that they were no closer to the promise than when they started out. We've seen those that have trusted God when things looked hopeless. We have seen them trust God when others were against them. We've seen them trust God when things were good and trusting God seemed superfluous. The wisdom and the knowledge of God transcends all time, transcends all space, all cultures. But we're not God. Deuteronomy 4:39 says this. You've got that on your paper. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the self-existing one, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. Look, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. 1 Kings 8 says this, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands. I kind of, you haven't gotten your part there yet. I just kind of made it short there. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and with a loud voice saying, here we go, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Now it goes on, it says, the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments we commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel at all times as a matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect before the Lord, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments as it is this day. In other words, just do right, trust the Lord to work it all out at the very end. I didn't give you this one, but Isaiah 45 says this, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Verse 22 says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am the Lord, and there is none else. I gave a message some time ago. I talked about there's only one God, and if you don't have God as your God, you don't have a God. You can pray to all you want. You can hope to the universe that's going to bring back what you want. You can make government your God, but you don't have a God if the Lord is not your God. That also means we're not God. So why are we dealing with that? Because we think we can control life. We think we can control our circumstances. We think we can control others. We think that we've got it all figured out. Our job is to do right and leave it in the hands of the Lord. Living a life of faith must start with the reality that we are not God. Let me say it again. We're going to live by faith, because a lot of things are outside our ability, our understanding, our wisdom. If we're going to be living by faith, we must start with the reality that we are not God. We cannot do what God can do. We do not have the power. We do not have the wisdom. We do not have the knowledge. We do not have the character of God to know that we're going to do right. We do not have the authority that God has in this universe. On the other hand, God does have the power and the wisdom and the knowledge and the righteous character and the authority to do whatever he sees fit to do. A life of faith does not mean we understand all that God is doing. A life of faith does not mean we know how God is going to work. A life of faith does not mean that our ways and our thoughts are as high and great as the Lord's. A life of faith believes in God and commits his way unto him that judges righteously. The great faith of Abraham was that he had faith in the, remember this, faithfulness of God. God is faithful every time. His mercy is new every morning. Yeah, but I mess up. I know, but he's faithful. He will not deny himself. He is faithful. We may fail, but he's not going to fail. Abraham's great faith was in the faith, in the faithfulness of God. Faith, I've said this before, he's taking action in life based on that promise or a command of God. Let me give you number one. Joseph's faith in the Lord. He rested in the fear of God. He rested in the fear of God. You know, you rest in fear? Yeah. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And we teach that to our little kids. My God is so big. You know, we teach them all the motions. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. We grow up and we forget that. Joseph, his God was a big God. You know, a lot of folks do not rest in the Lord because in their mind, their God's not big enough to handle it. Well, I'm not sure I want to go out on a limb like that. Well, then do you trust him or not? Is he what he says he is in this book or not? We get so scared, we put ourselves in a, we put a little plexiglass box around ourselves and keep ourselves, so to speak, isolated from everybody else. Listen, that little calloused shield that we put up to protect ourselves from being hurt isn't going to keep the hurt from going. I'll tell you what protects you. The shield of faith. The armor of God. Look at our passage there in Genesis. It says, and when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command thee before he died, saying, by the way, there's no record anywhere else that actually says that Jacob had told them to tell Joseph, now you be nice to those boys after I'm gone. They're just saying that. I mean, that I think they kind of figured, well, he won't hurt as long as daddy's alive. But daddy's gone. Now what? Oh, well, dad said to tell you. Oh, yeah? Yeah, he told me to tell you to be nice to us. Don't hurt us. But there's no record of that. Verse 17, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did evil unto thee. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of thy God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. It says Joseph wept. I think there's a variety of emotions that went through his heart about that time. I tell you what I think it is. I think it's the same thing that when Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. They said, man, a great man like Joseph, Jesus, could not he have kept this man from dying? And they were going on this lost cause, and it says, and Jesus wept. You know what I think? He says, look of all this emotion and hurt and heartache they're going through, which is so unnecessary. If they had just believed God, they would know that God can do anything. And I think Joseph here is saying about his brothers by his tears, they still don't trust me, do they? I told him, bring everybody up here. We'll take care of it. We'll nourish you. We'll provide for you. We'll give you the best land. The land of Goshen, we'll give you the best land in Egypt to raise your flocks. And you don't think I was telling you the truth? Guys, listen, I'll take care of you. I mean it. I know what we've done. I know what happened. I know what you did. But I'll forgive you. It's done. It's in the past. God had a plan, and why should I worry about this? We're here now. Let's move on. Letter B. Joseph did not live in fear of his family. He didn't live in fear of his family. Joseph sought to please the Lord whether it pleased his family or not. That's how he lived his life. Before they ever threw, he didn't live in fear of them. He lived in fear of God. He did right and allowed the rest in the hands of the Lord. By the way, part of doing right is doing right with the right attitude. There's a lot of folks that say, well, I told them what God said. I don't know why they got mad at me. Because the way you said it. You were angry. You were, you know, so doing right out includes how you do it. But Joseph just did right. He didn't say, well, I'm not gonna fear God. I'm not gonna do what God wants me to do because my brothers are gonna get upset, or you know, anything like that. Well, I see these dreams and boy, that's gonna make him mad. I think he just said, this is what God said. I don't know what it's all about. What do you think, boys? I don't know. Here it is. I mean, he's not stupid. I think he probably knew that he was going to make his brothers upset. I said, here it is. I don't know. To tell you the truth, you know what he told them when he told them the dreams? They didn't realize it. They didn't like it. But the fact is, he just prophesied to them that God was going to save their necks. He didn't know it. They didn't know it. But that's what God said. And God said it's good. Letter C, Joseph did not fear God. Not live in fear of Pharaoh. He didn't live in fear of Pharaoh. He just did what he was supposed to do. Letter D, Joseph did not live in fear of his father. He said this is what the Lord says. And so it's just part of it. He just lived in faith. Number two. Joseph lived, here it is, a life of faith. He lived his life in the fear of God, not fear of anything else, any family member, anything else. He did not put them above God. He didn't say, well, I'm going to make sure that they're happy. If God's not quite as happy, I'll kind of schmooze him over later. I'll take care. No, he just lived in fear of God, not in fear of anybody else, but in fear of God. And so he lived a life of faith. Look at verse 19. Joseph said unto them, fear not. Watch. For am I in the place of God? He said, listen, don't you worry. He said, do you know what you think? Now that daddy's dead, that I'm now going to take things into my own hands, get revenge, retaliate, kind of wipe the whole bunch of you out. He says, listen. He said, you know what? He says, that's not my job. Why? Because I'm not God. Well, I tell you, how many times have we decided it was our job to teach somebody a lesson? It was our job to get them straightened out. We thought it was our job to show them what for. No, our job is to trust God, fear God, and do right. We're not in the place of God. Oh, but God told me. Maybe somebody told you, but I don't think it was God. Be careful deciding this is what you want to do, and God doesn't hold you back. You think it was okay to do. Foolish. He'll let you make a wrong. He'll let you make a wrong mistake, a wrong decision. And then he'll let you see what happened and make you live in it for a while. These people said, you know, they'll say, well, I know. Now, Joseph says, I know what your intentions were. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. I know what, Listen, I knew what you were doing when you did it. I begged you not to sell me. In fact, they talk about how they saw his face when they did that. But verse 20 says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me." He says, "I know what you were trying to do. I do. I know what God's intentions are, though. God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day." To bring us right where we are right now, where I can save much people alive. God's intentions were to spare your lives. Now think about it. This is what he's telling his brothers. God's intention for me to spare your life. Do you think that I'm going to go against God's intentions and kill you now? You see? Wait a minute. God's intention was obviously to save his brothers alive. Of course, they're the posterity of Abraham. It's all part of the plan. By the way, if they had died and Judah died with them, where does our Savior come from? If Joseph had decided, "I'm going to kill the whole bunch of them," the lineage of Jesus would go out the door. God had a plan. And so Joseph, who fears God, doesn't fear anybody. He doesn't fear what man can do, what his brother's going to do, what his family's going to do, what father's going to do, what Pharaoh's going to do. He's going to do what God wants him to do. He fears God. He says, "I'm not going to, if God wanted you alive, I'm not going to try to get rid of you on my own. That would be foolish on my behalf." Verse 21, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. Now think about it. Who are we to argue with God? Who are we to, you know, now watch. Do you realize this? Jesus is not only our Savior, but Joseph's Savior, and Judah's Savior, and Naphtali's Savior, and Issachar's Savior, and Asher's Savior, all those boys. Do you realize if Joseph had killed them and they had cut off the line of the Savior, Joseph would have actually sentenced himself to hell? Why? Because he decided, "They're not going to do that to me." I'll tell you what, there's a lot of folks, and there may be some in this room, who decided, "I deserve to get the upper hand. I deserve to tell them what for. I deserve to get them back for what they've done." And when it's all said and done, it usually comes back to bite them. Because see, that's not the way the Lord does it. But I'm not seeing the Lord doing it. Listen, they got away with this. They're sitting pretty in Goshen, getting government subsidies. Alive. They're essentially murderers. And the one they wanted to murder has turned around to be their blessing. Huh. I think I've heard that story before. Where are these wounds? Well, they were the ones that got in the house of my friends. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let her see. God is good. God is good. Verse 22, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children," that's his son's kids, "to the third of the third generation." He saw his great-grandkids and his great-greats, and Lord blessed him. By the way, if God had made the promise to bless those who bless Abraham, to curse those who curse Abraham, that would have gone along with Joseph too. If he had knocked out all the posterity, he's knocking out Abraham, he would have had the curse. He didn't get the curse, he got the blessing. Because he said, you know what, I'm going to leave it in the hands of him who judges righteously. The children also of Machir and the son of Manasseh were brought up upon Joseph's knees. I think that Joseph wouldn't have had the blessing he got if he decided to retaliate against his brothers. Now, I know this is not the way he designed his life. This is not what he designed it to be. This is not what he had planned. This wasn't what he signed up for. But God is good. I'll be honest with you. How many of us, let's say 50 and older, okay? How many of you who's 50 and older, your life turned out exactly like you planned? Now, you young folks, I'm telling you, you heard the response. How absurd of a question. Another question for those who are 50 and older. How many can testify God is good? It's good. It may not have been what I planned. I may not have ended up where I thought I was going to end up. But God is good. And I do think we're going to get to the other side and he's going to roll the veil open and he's going to say, here's what I had planned for you. I know you had this planned. Well, yeah, but that would have brought me a whole lot more prestige, a whole lot more of more money. You know, I would have been more famous and all this stuff. He says, yeah, you've been famous among men. But you were faithful. Now you're famous in heaven. And it's a whole lot more important. This lasts for eternity. You're famous among men. All right, kids, 18 years of age and under, tell me who Benedict Arnold is. Anybody can tell me who Benedict Arnold is? Now, he was famous for the wrong reason. How about Alexander Graham Bell? Tell me who Alexander Graham Bell was. Well, you're close. The telephone. Watch. My point taken. Famous among men. Eventually that disappears. But Abraham believed God. He's counting him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And he is a friend that's well known. There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Number three. Joseph died in faith. Joseph died in faith. Now, I said number two, Joseph lived in faith. And he did. He lived his life in fear of God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to let it go. I'll guarantee you it was not what he planned. But God knows what's going on. He didn't just live in faith. He died in faith. Look at verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die and God will surely visit you. In other words, I know you're all here, but God's going to come back and get you. How did he know that? God had given his promise. In fact, you go back when we started, he told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And by the way, that nation is going to go into Egypt, into bondage for 400 years, and it's going to come out a great nation. Now, they're only in Egypt and everything's going fine. We don't know what, you know, what do you mean we're going to come out a great nation? This is going to be hundreds of years from now. And Joseph says, I don't know when, but somehow, somewhere, sometime, God's going to come back and he's going to take you back to the promised land, because that was the land he promised Grandpa Abraham. And he promised to Grandpa Isaac. And he promised it to Daddy Jacob. It's a promise. So in fact, to tell you the truth, when you all get ready to go, take my bones with you. I remember, it was like yesterday, when my dad died. We were in the hospital room there, and we had sung some songs and laughed and joked, and he was just waiting for the train to leave. Just an amazing thing. Just as clear as his mind was just as clear as it could be. And all of a sudden, he said, my mom says, it kind of feels a little weird here. And we knew that was what was going to go, because all his organs were shutting down, and it's harder on the heart, and eventually it was just going to take him. And he was so fragile, you couldn't perform CPR on him or anything like to get him started again. And we knew that. And in just a few moments, he was gone. My mom, I took a deep breath. She was right there, actually, sitting in the bed with him, with her arms around him, when he died. She leaned over, kissed his forehead. She says, I'll see you in the morning. Listen, we live by faith. In fact, everything, we can die in faith. This is not all there is. Listen, eternity goes on past us. It says there in verse 25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's hang on to him. We're going to take him home. I don't know how long. A couple hundred years. Pretty good embalming. Of course, we've been finding them, in those kings embalmed, you know, for years here now. Thousands of years old. Again, I remember that day, we were preaching. I was preaching that morning when my dad died, and my phone buzzed, and I wasn't going to pick it up during the message. And we were, after everybody else was just about gone, I was talking, and I thought, oh man, I got a message while I was preaching. Wonder who that was. Well, it was my mom. And I called her back, and she says, Dad's calling everybody in. He thinks it's about time. So we all went down. And I remember we were sitting in the room, and the family was all there, and we were just kind of waiting. We didn't really know what was going to go on. And there was a kind of a waiting room, and the family had all gone down to the waiting room. And he kind of shooed everybody out. He says, "But except me." And he had a tube in his throat to help him breathe. And knew if they took that out, it probably could just be minutes, or who knows. But he had this card, this chart had letters on it. And of course, when you got that, you can't speak. But he was fully conscious, so you could spell things out. And he pointed to H. I said, you want to talk about heaven? Well, I said, it's a pretty nice place, so I hear. And I went back to the Dave in the hospital, and he held my hand, and I gave him the gospel, and he prayed with me to receive Christ, make sure he had it settled. How beautiful day that was. He cried, and I cried. I think he said about 8-9 times, I hope we got it settled today. We got it settled today, didn't we, Sterling? We got it settled today. And so we talked about heaven. We talked about how you get there. And we got finished there. And he said, I said, are you good? Pointed to N. You want me to get the nurse?
Yep.
So he got the nurse. He pointed to her, and pointed to a tube, and they were going to pull this breathing tube out. He actually breathed a little better once they got the tube out. For about an hour, we had it with him. But he died in faith. This was not all there was going to be. And when he was sitting that hour between the time they took the tube out and the time he went on the glory, I remember him looking at the family, saying, "Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful?" The tube had messed up his throat so much you couldn't actually hear. But he, and we sang, "How great thou art, amazing grace." And he smiled. "Isn't this wonderful?" I mean, he's not ready to die. "Isn't this wonderful?" But you see, death has lost. The grave has, there's no loss there. There's victory. And one of these days, we'll all be over there again with him. And Joseph said, "You know what? It's all right." And see, this is a testimony to how he lived by the way he died. Letter B, Joseph did not die in fear of the future. He did not die in fear of the future. He had settled, he trusted God. He feared God. God can do what he says. There is none else. Letter C, we can trust God to be faithful beyond our earthly existence. We can trust God to be faithful beyond our earthly existence. We can trust God to take care of us while we are alive. Now watch me. We can trust God to take care of our loved ones when we're gone. He says, "Listen, I don't know how long it's going to be. Maybe it could be a couple hundred years. I don't know, but God's going to come back and he's going to take us all, he's going to take you all out of here. Now I'll already be with him. But he's going to come back and get you out of here. And it's going to be all right. I don't know how bad it's going to get. But I will tell you this, family. I didn't expect to be sold into slavery. And I didn't expect to end up in prison. And my life didn't take the course that I expected it was going to happen. But I tell you one thing that I found. God is faithful. And he will get us through what we need to get through. He will fulfill his promises. And he promised to come back and get you. So it's going to be all right." Now, families, you better make sure that you're living a life that testifies faith in God. And pass that on to your kids. Well, I've kind of blown it. We're at this point. Well, start now. Start now. Pass it on. And by the way, so what in the world is going to happen to my children? I mean, there's some folks I feel like they say, well, you know, they have issues and so forth. What am I going to do? God is faithful. Well, I see a lot of folks who have this kind of issue and they're stuck or they're homeless and this and that thing. Wait a minute. Live a life of fear of God and faith of him, and the faith in the faithfulness of God. Give them over to him. Sure, you may be some things you need to do ahead of time. Let him give you wisdom in preparing for some things. I don't know. But you want to see everything go well with your family? Live in fear of God yourself. Trust the future to God because he's faithful. Letter D, to live a life of faith, we need faith that goes beyond this life. We need faith that goes beyond this life. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Joseph said, you know what, I know that you know all this is going to happen, but the fact is, God's faithful, and he's the one of life. He's going to bring us out of here. Number four, we don't need to live in fear if we will simply live in faith in the faithfulness of our Father. We don't need to live in fear if we will live in faith in the faithfulness of our Father. Letter A. Ready? Do right according to the righteousness of God and His Word. Not what you think. Not say, I'm going to do this unless He hits me with a two before it makes me stop. If you live in fear of God, you're going to say, I want to make sure I do this right exactly the best I can the way He wants me to do it. And then when you do it and you do it, you messed up a little bit, what do? You go to Him in confession and throw yourself for His mercy. I'm so sorry. Honest, I really tried to do right. I did. I just kind of messed up. Live in fear of God. Do right according to the righteousness of God and the Word of God. Letter B. Watch me. Then commit. Now, that's the word. It's a good word, but there's two definitions of this word. Some people say, well, I'm going to commit to do this, which means I'm going to determine. I'm going to do everything I can to do it. That's not what this word commit here means. This word commit here means to be committed into the hands of someone else to take care of you. Committed to a hospital. Well, because if you go down to the emergency room, you think you're going to die, you don't know where to go, you're going to commit yourself into the hands of those who know what to do. Entrust yourself. Commit. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I just don't know what I do. Give it to Him. Well, I have been given, but He hasn't told me yet. So I guess I better do what I think. No, maybe you should better do nothing. If He hasn't told you what to do, maybe you shouldn't do anything right away. Yeah, but I don't like where I am. That's not the question. Listen, God knows what's going to happen down the road here. We may be jumping out too soon. On Friday night, all our family went down to see my mom. And it kind of did what it's doing right now. Just started pouring down rain. And we usually leave about 8 o'clock so the kids can get home, get to bed, and that kind of stuff. And the father, that's me, said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't we just take turns pulling your car into the garage and put the kids in the car, and then, you know, you can head out and bring the next one in. And so that just meant the guys had to, you know, go out in the pouring rain and get in the car and bring it in. And they did. One at a time, they went out and got their car and brought it in. They loaded up the kids, and we kissed everybody, you know, and put them in the car, and they left. And then the next one went out and came in, and, you know, we kissed the kids and loaded up the car, and they left. And so we just worked our way through there. By the time everybody was gone, it was time for Jack and I to leave. The rain stopped. We walked out, and we didn't even get wet. Now, that's my fault. Sometimes I think we jump out too soon. Our life is pouring down rain on us. And somehow we think, this is the way it's going to be the rest of my life. And we make a move too quick, right into the problem. And maybe, sorry, if we had just waited a half an hour, God would have tended to the issue and it was no longer even there. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way. Did I give you the other one? Commit thy works and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy way, what you're going to do, unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. That means continually. And He shall bring it to pass. But I'm sitting in jail. There's no way out. This can't happen. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you God now? No, I'm not God. Well, then, live in fear of God. And then 1 Peter 2:23, commit thyself to him that judges righteously. I know it's time to go. Let me read this last scripture. We use it a few days. Think about the life of Joseph and your own life as I read this. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Does that sound like Joseph or what? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way in the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Everybody's going to know who you were. I mean, just think, you think about this, the life of Joseph. I mean, just amazing. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth evil devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. So don't get in that bunch. Don't get lined up with the evildoers. What they did to me first. And listen, God will take care of them. Now you start doing to them what they were doing to you. Now you're in the same bunch as them. And now God's going to take care of you like he's going to take care of them. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, for the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied. For the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into the smoke, they shall be consumed away. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, may we trust in you. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the stands of the feet.